Welcome to Sinai Capital Full Year 2018 Results Conference Call. During the introduction, hosted by Mr. Miguel Gil Mata, Sinai Capital CEO, all participants will be on a listen-only mode. After the introduction, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the conference at any time, please press the star followed by the zero on your telephone for operator assistance. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Miguel Gil Mata. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. Welcome, and thank you for attending our full year results conference call. I am here with Ivan Teixeira, our CFO, and also with Nuno Barreiro, our investor relations, and also head of planning and control at Sonae Capital. Before we start presenting our results, let me just take a quick note to let you know that this is the first time we organize a results conference call. We are very pleased with that, and as we want to increase our frequency of communication and transparency with our investors and analysts, we will be organizing these conference calls twice a year on our half-year results and, of course, on full-year results. Next event will take place in July this year for our first half results. Let me go directly to some highlights, and then I will hand over to Yvonne before we will be happy to answer some questions on your side. The results we announced today, yesterday, are the outcome of a year where we achieved important milestones in our corporate strategy. We can say that we are now a bigger company with increasingly consolidated business portfolio. Our turnover of our business units continued to grow and reached 183.5 million euros last year, which was 16.3% above 2017. And our business unit EBITDA stood at 20.6 million euros, an increase of 18.6% when compared to last year. Very important to let you know that the majority of our business showed operational improvement and reflected a continued business's net profit despite significant growth in amortizations. And so the net profit of continued businesses reached 200,000 euros, which was 2.7 million euros above last year. Our net debt stood at slightly below 120 million euros. So our capital structure is under control and adequate when considering the group's portfolio of businesses and real estate assets. It's a net debt of 2.5 EBITDA and a loan-to-value of 21.1%. Going through each of our business units, in energy, 2018 was the year when we established the foundations for a new market, Mexico, where we expect to develop essentially our cogeneration technology, where we feel we have better capacity to compete, extensive know-how and experience. In Portugal, where, as you know, apart from cogeneration, we also have some renewables, we have a turnover of 52.6 million euros in 2018, a 16.2% increase on last year. And even though it is positive, this value is below what is expected in these operations, given somewhat smaller sun and wind resources in 2018. So it was a year where we had a little bit less sun than the expected average and wind. EBITDA stood at 15.1 million euros, still a growth of 6.5% comparing to last year, and an EBITDA margin of 28.8%, which represented a decrease when compared to 31.4 last year, which was driven mainly by, in terms of cogeneration, the price of CO2 licenses higher than what was historical last year. And in renewables, as I've said before, somewhat smaller, lower resources in terms of wind and solar. In terms of our industrial engineering unit, we still proceed. As you know, we acquired Adira in 2017, second half of the year, and we are proceeding with a series of profound transformations, structural transformations in the company, which we believe should operate on a different way to take full advantage of its significant potential. This, of course, had an impact, an avoidable impact in terms of profitability, namely in terms of short to medium term profitability. But we believe that these are the correct changes to the company which will allow Adira to untap its full potential. As anticipated, the results we announced reflect this restructuring process, which is still in course. Adira had a contribution of 11.9 million euros for top line and a negative EBITDA of 1.8 million euros. Going to fitness. We have successfully integrated the pump fitness chain, which we acquired very early in 2018, and also Lagoas Park Club, which we acquired in July. At the same time, we opened three new clubs, which means we are ending the year with a portfolio of 30 clubs. Through a multi-segment strategy, Solinka, Pump, and One brands, the three brands, we are planning to keep the expansion plan already in course. The average number of active members, which is a very important metric, kept increasing and is now close to 86,000 members, active members. In 2017, we have, by comparison, an increase of 69%, which corresponds to 60% increase when considering only Solinka chain, like for like. In terms of financial figures, turnover grew 55% to 36.1 million euros, backed by a like-for-like growth of 7% in membership fees. EBITDA reached 4.5 million euros, more than doubling when compared to 1.8 million euros that we have in 2017, and the EBITDA margin reached 12.5%, which is 4.8 percentage points above 2017. Hospitality, another business unit. Hospitality is now counting with the integration of Aqualuxe Suite Hotel in Lagos, in the south of Portugal. We started the year with 6 units in operation. As you know, we made this integration from the 1st of January. More importantly, we recently won a concession to open a new unit in an iconic building in Lisbon, the Santa Apolónia Railway Station, which will allow us to start activity in this very important destination, Lisbon. In 2018, the consolidated RevPAR increased by 4.5%, with a positive contribution of all units in operation in Porto, which means Porto Palácio, The Artist, and the House Ribeira, as well as Troia, Aqualuxe. Porto Palácio in particular increased RevPAR by almost 15%, which is well above the market benchmark. Turnover increased by 3.8% versus last year to 23.8 million euros, and the EBITDA was positive and reached 54,000 euros, also an historic milestone for this business unit. Even though it was only slightly above zero, it is worth pointing out that it reached break-even. In Porto, all operations are currently positive, and the main profitability challenge remains Aqualuge in Troia, mostly because it's of very strong seasonality. Turning to refrigeration and HVAC, we continued to improve the profitability and sustainability of this operation. Turnover stood at 47.7 million euros, which was slightly below 2017, around 7% below, but this was driven by a reduction in HVAC activity, also in refrigeration. The reduction in HVAC activity is the result of our business strategy, as we are giving priority to bigger projects with higher complexity, where we can best compete. But EBITDA stood well above last year at 2.2 million euros, a 45.1% increase. This is the result of greater focus and benefits on one hand from the concentration in refrigeration, and on the other hand, a more tight selection of projects in terms of HVAC, and we should continue to look to increase profitability of these business units. In terms of Troia, operations in Troia, Troia has a lot of potential to become a touristic destination of excellence. We are building the destiny. In fact, we are working in order to change the repositioning of Troia, which we believe will drive profitability up, and above all, will drive up the customer experience to outstanding levels. Turnover generated by the operations in Troia Resort was 11.4 million euros in 2018, again an increase in this time of 4.6% when compared to 2017. EBITDA stood at 0.6 million euros, slightly decreasing when compared to 0.8 million euros last year, mainly due to some costs linked to this repositioning effort of the Troia Peninsula. I will now hand over to Yvonne. Please, Yvonne, go ahead.
Thank you, Miguel. Hello, everyone. Thanks for attending Sonae Capital Full Year Results Conference Call. Starting with real estate, we have reached very, very important goals in 2018. As you know, we have been selling real estate assets in order to finance the execution of our corporate strategy. 2018 is worth to highlight the sale of Plot 11 here in Oporto for 4 million euros, and the sale of F&R allotment for 30 million euros, one of the most biggest and emblematic assets on our portfolio, in addition to the signing of the promissory purchase and sale agreement of one of the plots we have in Troia, Unoptres, for 200 million euros, and also the signing of a promissory sale and purchase agreement of a business real estate located in Oporto, also for 6.3 million euros. The last two of the transactions are not yet accounted in results, since they are still to be complied with condition precedents established in the agreement. Regarding Troia and the sale of residential touristic units in Troia, I would like to point out that this is probably the best year in sales that we have since 2014. We have made 38 deed sales for 14.7 million euros plus 12 promissory sales and purchase agreement, totaling 50 units sold back in the year that just ended. Additionally, in the beginning of the year, we already made additional five sales deeds, totaling 2.3 million euros. This is a positive sales rhythm. As I was mentioning, we haven't seen since 2014. We have also updated our valuation on our portfolio last November. As you know, we usually do this on a biannual basis. So Cashman and Wakefield confirmed the intrinsic value of our portfolio. We ended the year with real estate assets in the amount of 353.8 million euros, including the World Trade Center Fund, which is with market value of 71.2 million. Regarding this WTC fund, we are beginning the placement of the assets. So if everything goes according to plan, we should be expecting to have some news on this front between this year and the beginning of the next year. Regarding our capital structure, and as Miguel was mentioning, we ended 2018 with a net debt of 119.8 million euros. We have increased our debt by roughly 10 million euros. I would like to point out that Sonae Capital is delivering a quite interesting cash flow generation profile. Our business units freed up cash from operations amounting to 21.5 million euros. We additional cashed in the proceeds of the real estate sales amounting to 36.8 million euros, and we have managed to invest 41.7 million euros. On top of this, we also distributed dividends on the amount of 50 million euros, and in the end of the year, our debt only increased 10.5 million euros. So we do consider that we have a quite conservative capital structure. It's completely adequate to our portfolio of business and real estate held. It supports fully our development plan for all our business units. And at this moment, we have a net debt to EBITDA of 2.5 times, plus a loan-to-value of 21% over our valuation of the real estate. Just a final note on shareholder remuneration. Given the results reached this year and cash proceeds that have been obtained by the monetization of real estate assets, the board of directors will be proposing on the next general meeting the distribution of a gross dividend in the amount of 7.4 cents per share, which represents a dividend yield of 8.7%, considering the closing price as of 31 December 2018. Just some final words. Given this set of results and the positive net profits in continuous businesses, as well as the evolution trends more and more evident that are affecting our portfolio, it seems clear to us that 2019 will be also a positive year with some interesting and good news on the ability of Sonae Capital to create value for our shareholders. So next year, we will continue to implement our corporate strategy, which is anchored in three pillars. First of all, the sale of our real estate assets. As I was mentioning, it's the proceeds finance all our growth prospects and all the remuneration so far we deliver to our shareholders. We are continuing to focus and invest on the growth of our current business units, and we still aim to develop a new cluster of technology-based companies with strong exporting vocation and leverage on Portuguese engineering competencies. As Miguel was saying, Avira is going through a deep transformation process, but we do reaffirm the value of the company and the value of these kinds of companies that operate in Portugal. In energy, we will remain focused on growth, of course. We will strengthen our cogeneration operation, exploring possible opportunities in Portugal, but also in new geographies, namely Mexico, that was already announced for. Fitness, we aim to be the number one player in Portugal, so we will continue to invest not only on the greenfield opening of new clubs, but also to explore new acquisition opportunities, provided they are interesting operations to acquire. In the hospitality, we maintain our focus on creating a more balanced portfolio and a portfolio with more scale and network. Ian will continue to follow closely the market dynamics, both in price, in terms of price and demand, but also in terms of consolidation operations that might come up. Refrigeration in AVAC business, we are focusing our work on the last 2 years on the improvement of profitability, and we will continue to do so, always keeping in mind the evolution of the sector and potential growth in Portugal. Last but not least, industrial engineering business. Adir is expected to conclude this ongoing transformational process throughout this year, which is leveraged on the definition and implementation of an adequate marketing and commercial strategy. This is the trick that we do believe will make the difference in the near future. We do expect that back in 2020, we are already talking about an Adira in cruising speed and a completely redesigned company able to move further into the market. Thank you very much. Now both myself and Miguel will be available to answer your questions.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Star 1 for questions, ladies and gentlemen. We have a question from the line of João Pinto from GB Capital Markets. Your line is open.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for taking my questions. So the first one on Adira. You're investing to increase the scale of the company. My question is, which scale do you aim to achieve in specific? Where do you see top line and EBITDA margins in the long term, namely in 2020 when it reaches cruising speed? That would be my first one. My second one on hospitality. This has been historically an unprofitable business for the group. It has reached break-even now that we are in a good moment of the cycle, and you announced two new investments during 2018. My question is, do you intend to grow more, or you would be happy to take a divestment opportunity if the opportunity arises? The third one on real estate disposals, could you please give us some color on your outlook for non-core real estate disposals? Some examples of assets that you could sell in the near term. On Mexico, cogeneration in Mexico, have you already closed agreements in Mexico? If not, should we expect relevant contracts during this year? And if so, it will be capital intensive or not really? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Well, starting with your first question about Adira, I believe that in 2020, the company should approach turnovers that close to 20 million euros. I think that's our aim. At least should that by the end of the year reach a rhythm that will correspond to 20 million euro turnover annually. And we expect at least double-digit margins in terms of EBITDA. When reaching that volume, we feel that nowadays we are preparing the structures of the company to volumes of that order of magnitude, and that is in fact the reason why we are not reaching or focusing on immediate profitability. Afterwards, we do see in Adira a trend of opportunities, and so volumes could, from that point onwards, keep growing. We see no real limits to the company's growth. In terms of hospitality, yes, we do have been historically below break-even, but we have now reached break-even. And even though we do take advantage of the positive trend of the market, I also believe that there is great deal of improvements, internal improvements in our operation. Whether we will or not grow the business units with new units, we will be looking to opportunities. Definitely, we'll be looking to opportunities. Even though I feel that with the new addition of the unit in Algarve and the concession in Santa Apolónia in Lisbon, I do believe that things look very differently nowadays, and the portfolio already has some scale effect and is now much better positioned to face a potential downturn on the market. So we feel that we are building in some resilience to this business unit, which is still not fully reflected on a break-even result. In terms of disposals of non-car real estate assets, I don't know exactly if residential units fall under your definition of non-car assets, but at least they are smaller assets, and in that sense, we see very positive trends in the market. The year is starting with very, very good, rhythm, as Yvonne was mentioning. So we feel that our existing stock of units should be sold in maybe even 3 years, maybe less than that. In terms of smaller assets, let's say a below 2 million euros set of assets, of course these are harder to liquidify, but still we do see some interest overall in the market. So our stance is generally positive. And finally, in terms of Mexico, it will take some time, probably, before we have operations and projects already operating in this new market. We are working on a significant amount of potential deals, which, as you can imagine, takes some time to fully develop. If we do reach some of these deals, yes, we feel that they will be, to a certain extent, of course, capital intensive.
Your next question comes from the line of Arturo Amaro from Caixa BI. Your line is open. The line of Arturo Amaro is now open.
Hi, good afternoon. Can you hear? Sorry?
Yes.
Okay, sorry, I was speaking with the mute. First of all, thanks for taking the questions. One of them was related with the previous one. In Mexico, I know there are already some plans in the pipeline and mostly related with cogeneration. If there could be some specific target in terms of megawatts, something like that. The other one is related with real estate assets monetization. 2018, I think it was an exceptional year, and you were able to sell the F&R building and another UNOP. What could we expect in terms of real estate asset monetization for 2019? I think it will be hard to beat 2018, something between 17 and 18. And the third one and the last, it's related with how many fitness clubs are you planning to open this year? And thanks for taking the three questions.
Thank you, Arthur. In terms of Mexico, we are indeed focusing in cogeneration. Of course, in terms of an opportunistic approach, we could be looking at renewable projects in Mexico, but cogeneration is where we feel that we can better compete in that geography. And to give you an idea of what could be the dimension of a project in Mexico is a very big market. lots of opportunities, and with a broad span of installed capacities. We could be looking at projects somewhere between 5, even probably even slightly below 5 megawatts to 20, 25, or even higher than that. That would probably be our sweet spot. So I think, as a general idea, somewhere in that range. In this range should be where we best compete. But as I've said before, there is huge interest in this type of project in Mexico, and we feel that the market is it's actually a seller's market for this type of businesses in Mexico in our view. In terms of real estate assets and asset disposal for 2019, we keep optimistic. We see lots of interest in important assets, and I think the WTC fund is of great importance for us, and we are placing the asset now in the market. We feel that it will generate and has been generating lots of interest, so that's probably the biggest milestone we are pushing forward for in 2019, and it is, a very important value for 2019. Also, adding to good rhythm of sales for residential units in Troia, which are happening at a very good pace.
And of course, we are still marketing and actively marketing the remaining UNOPs in Troia. We still have UNOP 4 and UNOP 1 to be sold. Mm-hmm. We would pretty much like to get rid of one UNOP per year, so we are targeting that. But as you know, because we already closed two deals in the past, these are deals that take a long time to discuss and to close, so we are focusing on that. But we do expect to see some liquidity on this specific set of assets during 19 and 20. So I would say, if everything goes well, 2019 will deliver better figures than 2018.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear. Thank you.
Yeah, of course, in Troia, just to add that we always take great care when selling these macro plots, because they will influence the quality of the whole peninsula and the Troia right. as a destiny. And that, of course, makes us, difficult sellers, because we already always want to know
to choose
what
the
will
best
happen.
Mm-hmm.
Quality of the buyer and what's going to be mm-hmm. built there. And okay. finally, on your third question, maybe I will hand over to Yvonne, the question about fitness, number of players.
Yes, regarding fitness, we are planning on 2019 to add up between 4 to 6 new units. We are mainly focusing on speeding up the investment and the opening of our premium low-cost brand, Pump. We intend to, I don't know if you are aware, but currently Pump is mainly located in the south of Portugal, in Lisbon and Algarve. So we do intend it to bring it up north to Oporto. And at the same time, keep opening Solinka units where it makes sense to open it. But I would say that, of course, that would pretty much depend on our rhythm of growth would pretty much depend on our M&A opportunities, because, as you know, we grew a lot by acquisition of a chain. So if we do manage to find interesting operations in the market, it could go faster. But I would say between 4 to 6 new units in 2019 is our central scenario.
Okay. Thank you very much for taking my three questions.
Okay.
Your next question comes from the line of Bruno Bessa from CaixaBank BPI. Your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon. Several questions from my side, starting with Trajan and the sales deed that you have been reporting. According to my calculations, the revenue per sales deed in 2019 declined by 4% year-on-year. My question is if there is here any kind of price effect, or if this is all related with mix. If you could provide visibility on the split between the two drivers, will be good. Also related with this, the same ratio has significantly improved year to date with the five deeds that you have already booked, and has even improved more when looking into the promissory purchase agreements that you have in pipeline. So my question is whether this ratio year to date could be a good reference for sales deeds in Troia for 2019. So this will be related with sales. Yes?
Bruno, I didn't quite understand your last question. I'm sorry. There was some noise in the line.
Yes, so I was referring to the revenue per sales deed in Troia Resort, which declined in 2018, 4%. Is there any price effect, or is this all related with mix? And also related with this, in 2019 year to date, we are already seeing an improvement in this ratio. So would this be a good reference for the remainder sales deeds throughout the year? So this will be my first question related with the sales deeds. My second question related with the evolution of tourism flows in Portugal, which has been giving some signs of at least stabilization in 2018. My question is, how do you see the flow of tourism in the Troia Peninsula, and also how could this changing dynamics in terms of tourism flows, how could this impact the evolution of sales deeds and the potential disposal of further UNOPs in Troia Resorts? Okay, this will be related with Troia Resorts. And then, if I may, another three questions.
Mm-hmm.
The first one related again with the real estate and the valuation from Cushman and Wakefield. If you could provide us visibility on the like-for-like change in the real estate valuation from Cushman, and correct me if I'm wrong, but my question related with this is why aren't we seeing a stronger valuation upgrade from Cushman and Wakefield, considering that the real estate dynamics in Portugal over the recent years have been strong. The last two questions related with balance sheet. The first one, if you could provide us visibility on your CapEx targets for 2019. And the last one, after the sale of the WTC fund, the conclusion of the sale of the UNOP 3 and the promissory purchase agreements that you have already booked, and not considering further disposals, you will already reach almost break-even at net debt. So my question is, what will be your strategy in terms of the balance sheet and the use of cash between dividends, CapEx, and net debt reduction? Would you also consider any kind of share buyback? So this will be my question. Sorry for being so many questions, but it would be great to have visibility on this.
No, thank you very much, Bruno. It will be a pleasure. Starting with your first question, in terms of revenue per deed, the answer is this is all due to mix. There is no adjustment, at least no downward adjustment in terms of price. Maybe even slightly the reverse of that. Maybe we are probably slightly increasing or correcting some prices. So this is fully explained by mix. In 2017, we did sell a villa which made the average go up. Then during 2018 a lot of Akala apartments, which is a smaller residential unit that brought down the average per deed. And now that the Akala apartments are almost all of them gone, other types of assets like plots of land or villas are all again taking the revenue, the average revenue per deed at. So there is no downward correction in price whatsoever, actually quite the opposite. And in terms of the impact of tourism flows, namely for the valuation of our real estate in the Troia Peninsula, we did, of course, take notice of the slowdown of growth of number of metrics in terms of inflow of tourists in Portugal. But I believe that the impact in Troia is limited. Some other events or facts have way much more impact in Troia and the quality and attractiveness of the destination than the overall inflow of tourism in Portugal. If as expected, and it's all going according to plan, new add-ons to the peninsula, the reinforcement of the airport, both the airport in Lisbon and the new airport, will all add up to increasing attractiveness of this destination. So I see with the trend in tourism without any worries. In terms of valuation of Cushman and Wakefield, of course, I cannot answer for them, naturally. This is an independent valuation. But I think that the valuation of, first of all, these assets are of different kinds, as you know. Trends of valuation have been deeply concentrated in the downtown center of the cities. And I would dare saying that Cushman is rather conservative on their valuations, but I think that would be an answer, a question that they themselves would have to answer. We are comfortable with the valuation, so I think, and still it is slightly upwards when compared to on a like-for-like basis to 2016 valuation. In terms of your next question would be
CapEx
targets. In terms of CapEx targets, we do have some CapEx that is already decided. For instance, with some relevance, roughly 35 million euros that we will be investing in the completion of our biomass plant in Mangualde, as we have announced. But of course, there is it's not so easy to state exact capex target depending on different scenarios, potential opportunities, projects, other projects in energy, in fitness, as Yvonne was saying. We also talked about opportunities in hospitality. All of these can influence CapEx to a great deal. But I think our present situation in terms of capital structure allows us some margin, some freedom to move. And your last question was about if we have, as you were saying, we do complete the number of operations, we could have significant positive cash flow. We aim to keep returning some value to our shareholders, especially when we do have some significant inflow, but also always we'll take care that we reinvest some of those proceeds to implement our strategy, which, as you know, includes reinforcing our business units, and some of them are quite capital intensive on the one hand, and on the other hand, give scale and significance to a new business unit that we are starting to develop, which will be focused in exporting industrial-based technology companies. And so that could also be a destination for a part of those proceeds.
Would you consider any share buyback?
Of course. I'm sorry, I forgot to answer that. I don't think that will be a priority right now.
Okay, thank you very much.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We have another question coming from the line of João Pinto from GB Capital Markets. Your line is open. The line of João Pinto is open.
Sorry, I was in mute. Just a couple of questions more. Regarding the companies cluster that you aim to develop, are these companies from the same sector as Adira, or are they different ones? And just a follow-up on the WTC fund, given the time that negotiations take, how likely is the deal to be closed this year? Thank you.
Thank you, João. In terms of your first question, it's difficult to execute such a strategy on a very deterministic way, of course, as you can imagine. But what we aim to do is grow the segment, if that would go through M&A, which is, of course, a possibility. Companies that we'll be looking for would be companies that have strong synergies with Adira. That could be directly because they are operating exactly in the same sector. That's a possibility. But synergies could come from adjacencies, companies that, while not operating exactly on the same sector, do take advantage of the same skills, for instance, or have use the same distribution channels, or could be integrating upwards or downwards on the value chain. So the answer would be not necessarily exactly on the same sector, but having advantage of some synergies. And your first question regarding the WTC, we see no reason why the deal could not be finalized this year. So we do believe that could happen.
Thank you very much. That was very clear.
There are no further questions at this time.
Okay. So, again, we thank you very much for attending Sona Capital full year results conference call, and we hope to see you again soon, at least, if not before, in July. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.